You're asking me what would I tell people right now? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm selling everything I have.
$1 billion.
That's right. But we got to close out our position, or it could be zero. I mean, it's now or never, Mark.
Okay. Sell it all.
Marcel, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, what's up, bud? Good to see you again.
You're never not in blue.
That's a problem my wife and children say I have. They say, you know, they always say there's only one color, Dodge blue. That's what he wears every day. They get bored of it, but I don't, so.
I dig it. Well, we both work in professions, and you work in other professions as well, where you can be casual with what you wear and sport your team's gear all the time, which is kind of nice.
It's super awesome, man. You got to love that hobby, right?
No doubt. No doubt. Well, thanks for jumping back on today. I know you were on a couple months ago, and the feedback was outstanding. You gave a really honest perspective on how the national went. And so I think people are itching to hear your perspective of again, you were just at the industry summit last week, and we're going to talk a little bit about your experience on Chasing Cardboard. You're going to be on an upcoming episode here in about a week. You and I close a deal together, and we're going to talk about that and how folks can actually participate in that with us. But let's step back and talk a little bit about your viewpoint on the hobby right now. You had great conversations, it sounds like, last week at the industry summit. What's the sentiment right now? I mean, what are you feeling as you talk to the big boys in the hobby?
Well, the thing is, things are changing, and they're changing in the same way that they're changing in all the other sectors. So as all of you know, the stock market has been plummeting. And, you know, just this morning, I saw the headlines, you know, five days in a row of sell-offs, or I think that was the headline on my phone this morning when I opened it up.
Yeah. So
stock market is crashing, and the housing market has come to a complete standstill. It's not even moving. You know, I have experience with that. I do a lot of real estate, and houses are just literally not selling. They're not even getting, at least in the Las Vegas market, we were getting, you know, 4 months ago, a house was put on the market. It was getting multiple views per week plus. I've spoken to some people that had their house on the market at market price, and they've had like one view, meaning one person actually visit the property in the last month and a half. I mean, so it's like wow. A match. You're running, and then suddenly you stop. It's just a complete halt. So stock market's crashing. Housing markets come to a complete halt, and some say it's crashing as well. Inflation's at an all-time high. Well, it has to affect our sector. It has to. So even though we have all these new people in the hobby that came in during COVID, a lot of those that were here just to make the quick money, and you know, here for the you buy this and it's worth 3x a month later. Those guys are all out, but we're still left with a much healthier amount of people. The pool is larger, so that's good. But what's happening outside of the hobby is affecting the hobby. And so in speaking with others, I think that literally as I'm speaking the last few weeks, I've seen a sell-off. I see a lot of people trying to sell and sell quickly, and pricing on new product is not as high, and pricing on new product that comes out too high is coming down almost immediately. I just think things are changing, and I think they're mirroring the other aspects of our economy. So
yeah, that's I understand that completely. And I think most folks probably are feeling that pinch from all the other aspects of the economy. The common response is, well, we're just getting back to the way the hobby used to be. What's kind of your response to that? And is that true? Or are we entering like an unhealthy phase in the sports car world where people should be a little bit more conservative with the way they're spending their money?
Well, I mean, you know, to say that we're going back to the way the hobby was, it'll never go back to the way the hobby was. So we have so many other people in the space right now, collectors and industry, that the hobby will never be the same. You know, the things that have happened in the last 2-3 years, from Star Stock to Card Ladder to these streaming apps like Loop and whatnot. I mean, there's just so many things that have changed in the hobby. We'll never quite go back to that. But in a lot of ways, the hobby is normalizing, and it's forced to because of the economy. But like I said, I still feel good about the hobby because there's more people in the hobby. Now, are the manufacturers printing more to satisfy the larger pool of collectors? I'm sure they are, right? I'm sure they are. But I just know that what goes up must come down, right?
Yeah.
And that's where we're at right now. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you have a prominent shop in Las Vegas, the Awesome Card Shop. So you see the flow of people, you hear the sentiment from people, you know, true collectors. What would be your advice to people that maybe bought in a year and a half ago and now are just like, holy crap, what did I do? Is your advice, hey, just hang tight, be smart? Or is your advice sell because you see another 20% coming in reduction? What's kind of your advice to those people that are just really scared and maybe frustrated about the way the graph has played out?
Right, right. Well, I would tell them to go get it out of the ocean.
Got it. Okay.
Listen, man, here's the deal. So first off, I don't know if you know that, but I've always told people who get in the hobby that it's a hobby. There's a big part of the hobby that's not like that, right? There's the sports card investor part of the hobby. And there's the people who are here just to flip and flip and flip and make money. There's, you know, there's that part of the hobby. But I've always told people, always, I still do it myself, maybe to my detriment, I don't know, but collect what you like. I always tell people, collect what you like. Because the first thing a person asks when they walk into a card shop is, what can I buy that will go up in value? Or what can I buy that if I hold, you know, in the future will be worth more? And that's always their question. I always tell people, hey, bud, just collect what you like. Find what you like and collect it. Like you like a player, like a team. You like the way this Gypsy Queen design looks. Like you want to make a set of it, do that. And then if it goes up, it goes up. If it goes down, it goes down. But have fun because it's a hobby. So you're asking me what would I tell people right now? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm selling everything I have. meaning I'm selling. No, don't get alarmed, everybody. Listen. I'm selling everything I have that I don't care much about right now, because I actually think that it's going to be worth less in the next quarter. So what I would advise those that take this thing and look at it as an investment, if you want to hold for the years to come, well, sure, anything that goes down could come up, right? I mean, if you buy a stock, sure, it could go up, right? If you buy a card, it could go back up. But I'm not waiting around for that. I think for the most part, most cards and or boxes will be worth less than they are today in the next quarter. And if you have stuff laying around that you're not in love with and you don't care about, I'd say sell now because I think it's going to be worth less in the near future. And my personal opinion, just my opinion, others have other opinions. I don't think this is a 1 to 2 year deal. A lot of people feel that the Fed is raising rates right now just so that he can drop them. I think that's true. I think he'll start dropping them right before the election, try to make a PT situation for the left. I think that's what he'll do, but I don't think the economy is going to take a turn when he does that for the better quickly. And so I think this is a long haul thing. In my opinion, I think this is a possibly 3 to 5, maybe even 7 year lull that's coming. And I don't want to wait that long. So all the stuff you have out there that you don't really care about or you have too much of, I'd say sell now because I think it's going to be worth less in the near future.
Interesting. That's about as doom and gloom as it gets. Let's be honest, Marcel. That's a pretty...
I mean,
it's a pretty clear action that you're taking in response to how you're feeling. And I would say I don't disagree with that at all. And it's something I've been preaching, like, hey, don't you don't love it, get rid of it. And if you want to stay in the hobby with that money, go put some that money back into something you love. And I think you'll find more enjoyment out of it. So I want to go back to something that I know you had a conversation about the industry summit, and that was with some leaders of larger companies that you're friends with, your buddy with. There's a lot of big money leaving the hobby. And I think that's kind of goes against what a lot of people think right now. And I think it plays out in some of the high end stuff that is not moving anymore. You know, high end wax, high end cards are dropping in values, but specifically high end wax is really having a hard time moving in some of these shops. When big money leaves something like real estate or alternative investments like this, when does that start to cycle back? And is it a good thing that maybe some of that big money is leaving so we can settle down and kind of refigure out what our new bottom is, what our new foundation is? I guess I'm trying to reconcile what the hobby's saying versus what we know is happening. And that is big money is not as frequently spent as we think.
Again, it's more of the same. It's just I think what goes up must come down. I think things have already kind of normalized, and I think now they're heading the other way. But it's not all doom and gloom, man. It's just economics 101, right? I mean, listen, if you have to pay $6-7 per gallon for gas and you're going to the supermarket, we were just talking the other day here in Las Vegas, chicken, what was it? A packet of chicken cutlets was like $3 pre-COVID. Now it's almost $6. And then you've got people that before felt pretty good about spending money on alternative, yeah, right? Things like the hobby, because they were looking at their stock portfolio and there was only one projectile for it, right? Now the same people are running on empty and they're thinking twice, like, hey, am I really going to go blow a X amount of dollars on that, on yeah, that part I wanted? And so, but new stuff has always moved faster. You asked something about that. New stuff has always moved faster. I'll never forget. I was at the industry summit many, many years ago, and I forgot who the speaker was, but the most searched term on Beckett Marketplace every year is, or was at that time, whatever that year was. So at that point, it was 2015. The most searched term was starting with 2015, and then you can throw whatever you want at the end, Tops or Panini. So new product always moves faster. The velocity at which that product sells always moves faster. The hobby, it's like news almost, right? Like, hey, you know, today in the news, so-and-so does, you know, today in the news, Mahomes throws 6 touchdowns, right? And X amount of yards. Well, that's today's news. Everybody eats it up. What's tomorrow's news, right?
Yeah.
So even though oldies but goodies, so now I'm going to actually talk about hobby boxes. Luka Doncic boxes, Josh Allen boxes, Patrick Mahomes boxes. So these things, these boxes that have these megastars in them, sure, people want them. They are out there. You know who's in it. You know if that player keeps playing good, the box is a good box. But people always want what's new. What's yeah. new and exciting. And, hey, you know this. You did some breaking back in the day. I remember. What was it called? Downtown Breaks or something. You know,
yeah.
get the product. Comes out today. Break as much of it as you can and go on to the next product.
Yeah.
So the velocity for which newer stuff sells is always faster.
Yeah. That's a good reminder. I think sometimes people get stuck in, you get stuck in seeing all the goodies, right? Like the Luka Doncic rookies, the Patrick Mahomes products, and you see the prices going up. You see the Trout rookies selling for crazy amounts. But when it comes to wax, it's a different story. So I guess let me ask you this then, because we know the little conundrum that we're in with wax right now, with Panini kind of slowing things down. There's a little bit of like uncertainty with the potential merger there with Fanatics. You look at like the release calendar for the next 3 to 4 months, and there's really nothing coming out on the Panini side. And then obviously baseball season is going to be over, so Topps doesn't have necessarily anything of note, and especially since they've canned a bunch of products. Does that put maybe more emphasis on going back and getting older wax right now? Do you think that sees a little bump because there's not a lot of good stuff coming out on the release calendar?
It could. So it could. I feel like something's going to happen there. I can't imagine it's going to stay like that for very much longer. You're right. You know, you look at that Panini release calendar, it almost just comes to a stop. And we've been talking, myself and other hobby shop owners, you know, the rate at which products are being put on pre-sale for us on our Topps account has slowed down too significantly. Like in the last few months, it's just, there was a time when you'd log on the Topps every week or every 10 days. You were pre-release that you would pre-order, and now it seems like there's been two or three since the national. Something's going on there. I don't know if it has to do with the printing press. I don't know if it has to do with Fanatics, but something's going on there. But at the end of the day, whatever Fanatics decides, I know they want to sell sports cards.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that it's going to be fine. It's going to open up, but there might be that little gap there while these things are changing. And I don't think people are going to go back to older product. I think they're going to go back to older product from this year. I don't think they'll go back to the older product from before. If there happens to be a little gap in production, I think people were looking for stuff that's newer. That's the other thing, Ty. You know, we always used to say when I had my other card shop, it's like, if you've got a box, you know, I remember Sterling Baseball. Do you remember Sterling Baseball, right?
I do.
Baseball, it's like, sometimes we used to have some Sterling Baseball, and back then it was a crazy price. It was worth like, one box got up to like $900 or $1,100. And we were like, oh my gosh, our box that we haven't sold is worth $1,100. And then I would just say, I'd be like, well, good luck selling it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, you know, there's these older products, right, that have these big players, whether it's Giannis or Mahomes or whoever. And hey, the box is worth, you know, mega box is worth $2,500. Okay, go find the guy to buy it. You know, it's like, it's great that your box is worth that much, supposedly, because there's been one sale of it in the last 2.5 months. But go find another guy to buy it, right? That stuff moves slow for that reason. So I think answering your question.
That's the market we're back in. Right. Yeah. I remember that for Marquee. Do you remember Marquee baseball? Yeah. That was the same. It was like you would see the price on blowout and you'd see what it sold for on eBay and you'd be like, why is there a 70% gap between the two? You know, it's like, this is the price people actually will pay for stuff. Yeah, that's a good perspective. I think we'll probably continue to see that even more so the next few months on even older wax. I don't know what your thoughts are, but, and I guess a better question would be entering the holiday season, where you know, people need cash coming into your shop. Are you a buyer? Are you a buyer of wax or singles or collections? And if so, kind of what is your perspective on being a buyer right now?
So, and you know, let me rewind. I want to make sure everyone that's listening understands, like I said, you know, I'm selling now the things I don't care for or the things I have too much of. There are things that will withhold pressure, withstand pressure, excuse me. So, you know, if you were to look at the stock market, and I haven't recently, but I imagine that Apple, possibly Microsoft or Tesla, is faring better than others, right?
Yeah.
So you've got a beautiful Josh Allen. I'm using the same names, or Mahomes or Aaron Judge. Card. Like, if you've got a blue chip card from a blue chip guy who's got no bright future, I still think it's going to take a dip, but I don't know that there's really any reason to sell, you know? I don't know that there's really any reason to sell. Those are long holds, just like your Apple stock. So I wanted to make sure people got that. It's not like, sell. And people are doing that. That's the thing. People are literally going into panic mode and selling. I've never had this many people call my shop and come and sell, and not like garbage. Every day people are calling me trying to sell like their nicest primo slabs. I just had a guy walk in the shop yesterday that had some really nice stuff all slabbed. And he literally said it out loud under his breath. He said, I was never planning on selling this stuff, but now I need to. And the gist that I got was that things aren't as peachy for him right now in the way the economy's going. What was your... I lost track there. Sorry.
No, it was a great parlay. By the way, your blue pin there. That's great. It's funny that it's blue. my OCD is kicking in as I see you click it nonstop. And I'm sure everybody else listening is too. Wink, wink. So my question was, and it's a perfect parlay. You got a guy like that walking in. What is your approach as a buyer now? I mean, are you buying, and what are you buying, and how is your approach different than it was even 3 months ago?
So we're always buying. Okay. That's the bottom line. We're a card shop. I'd like to think that we're the premier card shop in town. We're always buying. But I have to buy right. So right now, if I'm buying at a lesser rate than I would have been buying 3 months ago, and definitely 6, 9, 12 months ago. I have to buy at a percentage that allows me to cover my position, because I actually think that most of the cards I'm buying will be worth less in the next 3 to 4 months. And then I'll have an opinion again in 3 to 4 months of what I think is going to happen. But right now, I don't mind passing. That's the whole thing. I don't mind passing. If I can't buy right, then I'll just pass.
Yeah. And I mean, I know every situation is unique, so it's hard to answer this question, but in a normal environment, 60 to 70% of comps is very normal for you to pay cash for, you know, a collection or cards or whatever it may be. Is that still the range because comps have moved lower, or is it, you have to factor in even more volatility and you're paying 40 to 50% of comps? How does that change for you as a buyer?
Yeah, well, so you're right. I think that probably industry standard sits somewhere around 60 to 70.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were to buy, Tua got hurt the other day, but if I were to buy a hot Tua or Jalen Hurts card, right? That 2020 class, man.
Insane, that's right?
Insane, right? I mean, you already have Herbert and Burrow, and now you've got Tua was playing great, and Hurts has been playing great. That class is looking
Justin Jefferson. It's just nonstop. Yeah.
Nonstop. But so if I'm going to buy a card that's hot, I'm still willing to pay within that 60 to 70 because I'm going to turn it immediately. I know that this guy, I'm going to put it in my shop. I'm going to put it on eBay. It's going to sell in the next week or two. So I can still pay at about that same rate. But anything other than that, the cards I would have paid 60 to 70, I'm paying 50 to 60 now. And okay. On any lesser stuff, like the everyday stuff that people bring in, the like $20 cards or less, I used to pay very little, and now I'm paying even less. And I don't mind not buying. And I don't mind telling people, hey, listen, maybe somebody will make you a better offer. But that's where we're at. So.
So what I'm hearing more so than ever, and in this environment, you have to factor in the cost of something not selling soon. Like there is a price for you to lock up your money in a card or wax versus 9 months ago where you knew like basically anything you bought, you were going to flip relatively quickly. Now, 90% of that stuff doesn't move. So yeah. You have to factor that in. That's good advice.
Yeah. And you know, there's others. There's some people in the industry, and I know them, and I spoke to them, and they're just, I don't know at what rate they're buying, but they're buying regardless. But I don't think this is a 90 day correction. I don't think this is in 1 year, everything's, back up. I don't see it like that. Other people may see it like that. So look, the other day I bought a Mookie Betts PSA 9. I think when I bought it, it was selling for $1,400. I mean, everyone has these stories at this point. But I repriced. Oh, we repriced every single card in our store 60 days ago. Every single card. And, every card, right? The price gun, lower the price, lower the price, lower the price. So my Mookie Betts PSA 9, it was selling for $1,400. It's selling for $900 now, yep. Right? And Mookie's been on fire. He's the hottest player on a big market team. And his card went from $1,400 to $900. And I actually think even if they win the World Series, I think the card will be worth $700 in the next 90 days. That's what I think. I think that there's so many people selling right now. I just can't get over how many people are coming to the shop with their good cards and selling. I don't know if they're completely getting out or if they're just falling upon hard times. But, usually I'm used to people calling and trying to sell me junk. Yeah. And then in a while you get some good cards, right? Every so often you get some good cards. But now it's just like good cards, good cards, good cards. So,
yeah. Yeah. And you and I have talked about this and I see it from kind of the collection perspective. Yeah. Obviously with Chasing Cardboard, we're seeing these collections and it's getting even more difficult on the front end of deals because as we comp things, you can look at the last sell, but as you know, in the real estate market and stocks, it's really easy to look at the last price and think, okay, that's the last price. But when you look at it in the context of a chart of the last five prices of the trend, You can't just take the last price because some of these cards, you take that buyer off the market. There's one less buyer and there's not a lot of new buyers entering in the market in this moment where it's a declining market. And so like you have to comp it as the next sell being lower. and the next cell after that being lower than that. And right now it's like you can really get yourself in trouble as a buyer if you don't think about that in terms of the trend.
Well, and that's why some of these companies, like some of these apps that I use, they show you the graph, right? Mm-hmm. And I just used it yesterday. I bought a awesome Walter Payton PSA 9 rookie card. Mm-hmm. And I immediately went to the graph. Like, yeah, I could have just gone to eBay, seen what the last one sold for, the last two, but I wanted to see the graph. And here's some silver lining. I looked at a graph for a PSA 9 Walter Payton rookie for the last year, almost straight as an arrow. Yeah. So there are cards that you know, are going to withstand what it is that's going on. But that's a blue chip card. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So tell me about some of the trends that you're seeing in the hobby. You know, I feel like some of the things that we could say the past year was like the rise of platforms, the resurgence of sports card shows, obviously the big news about Fanatics and all that stuff, whatever. But what do you think is going to be the story we tell 6 months from now about the way the hobby unfolded? Is there anything that you're seeing that you're thinking, okay, this is the narrative that we'll be talking about?
Well, I think we'll just be talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series. Please, please, Dodgers, please win. Please, man. I'm in LA right now because I'm here for the playoff game. So I hope they win. All right. So
I'm cutting that out. You were just at the summit. You saw the crickets, as I think you told me, like it was crickets for a couple of days. Do we see card shows kind of becoming not the thing anymore? The grading wars, do we see grading becoming like, I don't know.
Well,
not
so
a thing anymore.
for those of you that don't know, you don't need to be an expert to see what I'm about to tell you. I just got an email from PSA the day before yesterday. You can now grade your gaming cards, $18 a card.
Yeah.
Gaming, $18 a card. It says it's a special. As you all know, the last special PSA released turned into standard pricing like a month and a half later, which is the $23 for bulk sports cards.
Yep.
Dude, if you would have said $23 per card 9 months ago, you would have had collectors lining around the block to try and get in for that pricing. Now we're at $23 and $18. I think that $18 special is going to become a regular pricing.
Yep.
For them in probably the next 30 or 60 days. I heard that there has been layoffs at the larger grading companies. And mm-hmm. I talked to a smaller grading company. I also heard that there was layoffs. So I think that at least for grading again, it's, you know, now that we're talking about it, it's like, yeah, I guess everything is coming down. Everything is going back to the way it was.
Yeah.
You know, so I think grading is going to be more accessible, but that's also because card values are going to go down. Card values are going to go down. Grading is going to be more accessible.
Yeah.
I think that card shows are going to stay strong.
I think
there's going to be a lot of people that want to sell, and I think they're going to go to card shows to try and sell. And I think trading is going to stay strong because if you can trade right, you can trade out of a card that might be going down and still trade up. When you're good at trading, like, sky's the limit. So I think those are going to stay strong for the near end term. But, you know, what's amazing is that this all kind of started happening, at least for me, and at least for me in Las Vegas, and within what it is I do, in the last 4 weeks, I would not have said the same thing. I could see the precursors, but I would not be saying exactly what I'm saying today if I hadn't seen this whole change in the last 4 weeks. Yeah. Even though I belong to a wholesale network for hobby boxes, and it just kind of started happening. Like 4 weeks ago, I started getting hit on my buys. Getting hit on a buy is kind of like saying that, hey, I'm willing to purchase this product at this price. And yeah, I have stale buys that were out there. It's almost like saying, hey, if Apple's at 180, if it drops to 100, I'll buy some.
Yeah.
And so I had all these buys out there, and suddenly they're old. They're old. I just started getting hit and hit and hit, and just at one point it almost felt like I was, you know, getting clobbered. Like, just, is everybody selling? And it was everything. It's like Star Trek, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, racing. I mean, there was no sector that I had posts on that wasn't getting hit. And these are buys that have been sitting out there for, I don't know, some of them for over a year. So that all started in the last 3-4 weeks. So some things are changing. I think I got it pegged, but something's changing, and it's happening now as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I remember you telling me when it was happening, like, oh my gosh, I'm getting overrun with people hitting my buys. And those were prices where, like, I think you had them at Mark's word. You didn't think they'd ever be touched again to a certain extent, right? It's like, it's come back to a level where they were at, and now you're getting hit because people can't sell things. And that's a pretty, like, that's a wake up call. You're like, holy crap. Okay.
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, there's still so many good things happening.
For sure.
Like I said, that Walter Payton, that's just an example. That's just one example. We have a Josh Allen super collector who's a good friend of mine, and all of Josh Allen's cards are going up.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's playing his butt off. He's an incredible player. You know, he's one ring away from going into the outer atmosphere. His cards are going up. So if everything was literally doom and gloom, his cards wouldn't be able to go up.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not. There's a bunch of good stuff that's still happening in the hobby. I just think, you know, people are going to be more careful with what they spend their money on.
Yeah. That's totally fair. And I think that's probably a good jumping off point to talking about something else more enjoyable, more positive, because that is the reality of the market. I think we've laid that out pretty clearly, and that's a good perspective you give, because you're living and breathing this every single day, getting just the people in your shop and talking to the big boys. So thanks for being brutally honest. But let's talk a little bit about your experience on Chasing Cardboard. You got to live it firsthand. We were episode 11, which comes out next week. You were on, we did a deal together in California. And look, I know you well enough. We know each other for a long time. I was excited, really excited to just be a part of an episode with you. But what was your take on the experience? Did you think it was going to be as easy as it was? Was it not as easy as you thought it would be? Give us your feedback on the episode.
Well, it was so much fun, man, and thank you so much. I'm so grateful. I'm really grateful that you let me be a part of it and that we were able to do it together. People just see the end product. Like, we watch your show and we watch the end product, and we're like, oh, look at that, so much fun, and oh, he's gone around the country and he's just like buying collections and looking at cards. And there's just so much work behind the scenes, man.
Yeah.
There's so much work. And I had a great time, you know. I don't want to spill any beans, but, you know, like, I had a great time. I moved a lot of boxes.
Well, we're not going to spill the beans necessarily, but we did close the deal. It's a very unique deal. And it was cool because episode 10 ended with you calling me about a deal we were trying to close. And that's where we pick up in episode 11. And it was 3 days of madness that we went through to get this done. And I hope people are going to enjoy the story of it, but it's a big deal we closed. And it's the first exclusive wax deal that we've closed on Chasing Cardboard. And we worked together on it because we knew how each other would add value to the deal. But more importantly, we wanted to work everything through your shop. We thought it'd be a great venue for the Awesome Card Shop to just be the exclusive seller of all this wax. And I know we talked a lot about this, like the declining values of wax, but we got into a deal where we thought it was just a lot of really unique stuff that the marketplace would enjoy. And it's starting to hit your store. And by the time it hits, by the time the episode goes live, majority of this will be on your store now. You won't find it on eBay. You'll maybe find it if you go to, you know, to a show that you're at, but exclusively it's on your website and it's at your store. Are you excited about that? You nervous? I mean, tell me about that. I mean, it's maybe tell me about the collection itself. Like, crazy stuff in there.
Yes, yes. It's very exciting. And so, you know, the thing about this collection, and now that we talked about the state of the hobby, the thing about this collection, it's like almost all of it is blue chip. You know, yeah. I talking about that. Almost all of it is blue chip stuff that you can buy now at any time and you can put it away and you can be happy you did that, you know? So that's what's so exciting about it. I've never seen such a collection in one place of mostly all incredible boxes. Like, usually if you find a collection like this with, and by the way, those of you that don't know, it was like, imagine your entire bedroom at home with an ocean of boxes, you know, like 4 feet high that run across the whole room, right? Like, when you find a collection like this, there's usually so much fluff. There's so much stuff that just isn't worth anything, but this was like mostly beautiful blue chip boxes. And if you don't mind, you mind me mentioning some of them, or you want it to wait.
So I tell you what, let me just show your site, because you do have a Chasing Cardboard category up. You have 181, and we have, how many SKUs did we have when it was all said and done?
Well, so that's
700 different products, but multiple quantities of certain products.
Yeah.
Right. So this is all part of the collection. And you know how Matt is, right? Our producer of the show, when he saw 1819 Prism, he's like, Luca one of one. So that's exactly what he gravitated toward. But I mean, some of this stuff here, you talk about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Luka Doncic. I mean, this is prime years, but it goes back to Giannis rookies. It goes back to Trout. I mean, there is some crazy good stuff in here.
Yeah, I think there's some Tatum stuff in there. There's definitely Trout. There's Judge stuff. There's 2020 stuff, which is, you know, hot right now.
Yeah.
The collection is incredible. And, you know, if you're looking for blue chip boxes that can withstand the pressure of time and things you're going to put away, you know, because the players in there are so incredible. This is second to none. And yeah, that's the, like Matt said, and I didn't know that the Doncic 101 hasn't been pulled. I had no idea. So, like, how exciting is that?
Oh, so fun. So fun. Well, I encourage folks to go bookmark this page. I'll put the link in the top right corner, or click it in the show notes. This will take you right to the Chasing Cardboard category on the awesomecardshop.com. We are giving anyone that sees this video or watches us on Chasing Cardboard an immediate 5% off of anything that you see here in this category. Coupon code Chasing Cardboard, all one word. Or if you're looking to buy multiple boxes of this stuff, reach out to Marcel. contact us on the page, give them a call at the shop, and I know you'll work out something sweet for anyone that's watching us through the show. So there's a ton more that's going to hit the store, and we'd love to, you know, move it to folks that are looking at holding this or opening it for fun. And there's just some great products in here that we can't wait to get into collector's hands.
Awesome. Awesome.
Here you go. So a little thing about the recording with you, I had to tell him repeatedly behind the scenes to stop using the word awesome. I was like, you can stop plugging your shop by using the word awesome in every freaking sentence that you speak. It's like, Matt can't keep bleeping out these awesome words. You got to use a different word.
I love that. I guess that's my go-to word, right? The last two years. Realize that I just say it all the time.
You wear blue and you say the word awesome. You are so predictable, Marcel Bylak.
So funny.
So good. So good. All right. Well, let's end with this. I mean, tell me what your predictions are for the World Series. What do you think happens? And take your emotions out of it. Do you feel really good about the Dodgers winning it?
Well, so I felt good about them winning it, but then I went online and I read all the pro picks and reasoning behind everything. And I mean, forget about what I think. The pros, all the handicappers, all the analysts, they've got the Dodgers winning the World Series. The run differential, the amount of runs that we scored for the entire season and per game against teams, there's only like five teams in the history of baseball that have scored the same or large differentials, and it just makes for winning. So I think the Dodgers are going to win, you know, and I'm hoping Dodgers-Yankees World Series. How good would that be? You know how many people would watch Dodgers-Yankees World Series?
True. I mean,
that would be so incredible. And I would love that. And, you know, most importantly, I just want the Astros to get eliminated in round one.
Well, yeah, I don't necessarily think that Seattle has much of a chance against Houston, but I'm rooting for Seattle, obviously being up here in the Pac Northwest. Here's my kind of flyer World Series champion pick for you.
Okay.
I think the Phillies win it all.
Oh gosh. Where did you come up with that, man? Did you have
I think there's a lot of momentum behind them right now, and I think Bryce Harper wins it.
Oh, the MVP?
No, I think he wins. I mean, I think he helps them win the World Series. I'm telling you.
It's a big call. You know what? I want Seattle to also go far. I was at the Home Run Derby, and I saw Julio Rodriguez just swing after swing after swing, and he's got such a beautiful home run swing.
Yeah.
The guy's just so cool. He's young. He's just so good for the hobby. Seattle needed a guy like this forever, and they've got one. And I love J-Rod. So I hope that they do well. It just would be great for him and the hobby. They have the Astros.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think Yankees Dodgers would be great for the hobby. Seattle making it would be great for the hobby. It's funny, like when your team, like from my perspective, when my team gets eliminated and they're not in the playoffs, I think about it in terms of what's best for the hobby.
Yeah.
You know,
the same.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What about football? Who makes the World Series? Who's your pick right now? Who makes Super Bowl?
Well, I'm picking the obvious pick, but I want the Bills to win, and I think the Bills are going to win.
Okay.
I just think they're clicking on all cylinders. And Josh Allen, I mean, last year, you know, we all saw what happened last year. He's a quarterback to be reckoned with, and I just think that he can make it happen for the whole team. So I'm picking the Bills. What about you?
I'm picking the Chiefs.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Well, they look pretty darn good as usual. Something about, you can see a a mental difference with Mahomes this year versus last year. You see a little bit of a fire and a drive in him that I really like. That just seems a little different than last year. I feel like last year he had this mentality that he's just so good, it's going to be given to him, and then it didn't work. And then this year you're like, okay, we're stripping Tyreek out. Let's see how good you really are. And I'm liking the vibe I'm getting from him. So,
those of you that don't know, Tyler's teams are the Chiefs and the Royals.
And the Mizzou Tigers.
The Mizzou Tigers. Hey, but you know, I'll tell you this, like, even though we talked about all the selling and the stuff, I wanted to tell you this. I'm still buying, like, for myself.
For your own collection.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I've always – the reason I love this thing is because it's a business. But when I step outside of those four walls at my store, I'm a collector.
Yeah.
And I love the hobby. And I'm going out there and I'm buying cards that I want for my collection. And I'm not buying them to flip them or sell them for them to be worth more in 6 months. If that's not your objective, if your objective is to have fun and collect what you like, yeah, none of that matters. And I'm still totally buying. I want to talk to our guy that we got the big wax deal on our site, because there's some boxes I want to buy. I want to buy them for me. So, yeah, you know, I want everybody to remember, you know, that's always been my thing. Treat this as a hobby and you'll always have fun, you know?
Yeah. That's really good parting advice. And people don't know the beautiful, grandiose nature of your personal collection, but you've already given me exclusive rights to be the first guy to ever show your collection when in fact you do want to show it. So I'm excited for one day that opportunity.
my one player collection.
Yeah, it's pretty unique, pretty darn good.
Hey man, cool. Well, big ups to you. Your show is incredible. Really, thanks for letting me be a part of. I watch it every time you release an episode. I love what you guys are doing. People come to my shop all the time, talk about your show and your podcast. And just thanks for letting me be a part of. It's awesome. Chasing Cardboard is like the best thing that's happened to the hobby. So thanks, brother.
You just said awesome, Chasing Cardboard. You did it. You did it. On that note, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And thank you for jumping on as usual. Have yourself an amazing week.
Okay, brother. You too.
You, brother. Bye.